thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Morning, church. Our reading this morning comes from Psalm 116. It's on page 604 in the church Bibles. You can read along or you can listen. Maybe make this prayer of David your prayer. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, quote, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord. In your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? O Jehovah, Lord, we can relate to everything David has said in this prayer. We thank you for your love. We thank you for delivering us from dark places. We thank you for always standing ready to hear from us. Help us with our responses this day. Speak a mighty voice through our pastor. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to what the Spirit says to us, the people of Jehovah. May your voice be loud and clear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It was 2016, and over in Turkey, there was an attempted coup where they were trying to overthrow the government, and the military but as a result, they started to just gather individuals that they suspected was behind or supporting the overthrow of the government. And you might have heard At that time, many were arrested, some were killed, but there was an EPC pastor, his name was Andrew Bronson. His family was originally from Turkey, and he was there in Turkey for 23 years as a missionary, right? And he would say in his book that 3 days before he was called to go into the police department, as he was shaving, he heard an internal voice, you know, not audible, but the voice said, "Go home." And he didn't know what it meant, because for him, as a missionary, being there for 23 years with his wife and kids, that was home, right? And it really didn't connect, right? So 3 days later, after hearing that, you know, he was called for him and his wife to show up at the police department. And while there, he learned, right, that most likely he would be deported back to the United States, him and his wife. And then he started to pray to God and say, "Lord, I don't want to be deported. I sense after 23 years of doing ministry here in Turkey that there was going to be a great harvest, right? And this cannot be the end of this missionary work, right?" And eventually him and his wife would be separated, put into separate cells. Days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months. And all of a sudden, what he started to hear was no longer that he was getting deported, but he was going to be charged as a spy, right? And all of a sudden, his prayers immediately changed from, "Don't let me be deported," to, "Get me out of here," right? And all of that lasted for a little bit over 2 years, right? And Kim and I, we met Andrew, and just a soft-hearted, godly man. And right, let's see, is that working? Right, it's not right. And that's Andrew. Again, he's an EPC pastor. He serves in the same denomination as I do. And right, so it was October 12th, right, 2018. And again, he has now become a political pawn as they were trying to leverage the United States and into concessions. And he says his first year, he was just distraught. He was put into a cell that normally held three grown men, into that same cell that had 20 grown men, right? And all of them were devout Muslims, and he was the only Christian, and he just felt abandoned and alone, right? And he went from deep despair, depression, even thoughts of suicide, because it was just horrible conditions. And through it all, wondering, right, if God had abandoned him because he wasn't hearing from God, right? And then into the start of the second year of him being held, he made a decision, right, that even though he's not going to hear from God, right, but he was going to hold on and trust the God that has been his God, right? And through it all, he would have doubts. At this time now, his wife was able to visit him monthly. And he would ask her, right? It's like, does the world know what's happening to me, right? And she would come back and say, the whole world is praying for you, for your release, right? And then he started to think, maybe that was the harvest, right? He's thinking of a harvest with the people there in Turkey, but now it's this whole movement of people, right, specifically praying for Andrew, right, and the nation of Turkey. And all of a sudden, it's, even though he hadn't heard from God, right, he just pressed in and said, you know what, it's, I'm going to hold on to God, even though I feel as if he's not holding on to me. Right, so October 12, 2018, that morning, he is set to go to court. And at that court case, he's found guilty, right? And he's given, right, 3 life sentences, right? And all of a sudden, for the first time, as he's coming out of the courthouse, the judge says, you have the opportunity to appeal. And they take him from the courthouse to a car that's waiting for him, and they place him on a plane. And that day, 24 hours later, he's standing in front of President Trump in the Oval Office. Right? It's a great scene. Right? And if you remember, it's that scene where Andrew, as a pastor, just prays for Trump, right? And as a result, he wrote this book, God's Hostage. It's a great story if you have the opportunity, right? But it's a picture of an individual crying out for God, and as a result, his love for God becomes deeper, right? All of a sudden, you can get a picture, right, of when we were singing that song, Thank You, Jesus, right? All of a sudden, the meaning of that, thank you, Jesus, right? Thank you. Thank you for the blood applied. Thank you that you have washed me white. Thank you. Right? But to understand what the cost was, right, And today, Andrew's in a different ministry, right? Because of what God has done for him and his wife and children. And all of this leads us to this Psalm, Psalm 116, right? Psalm 116 is a group of Psalms that go from 113 to 118. They call them the Egyptian Hallel, right? Those are the psalms that would have been sung in celebration of God's redemptive work as he's rescued the children of Israel from Egypt. So these would be the psalms that the Israelites would sing during Passover. And here's the key, right? That this would have been one of the last songs, hymns, sung by Jesus and the apostles as they had just celebrated their Passover and they were going up to Gethsemane, right? And ultimately to be arrested, right? And go to a Roman cross, right? And here's the thing, right? You might say, well, it doesn't sound like this particular psalm belongs, right? Because most of the other psalms of the Egyptian Hallel are talking about a nation being redeemed, and this is more of an individual. But here's the thing, right? It's whether you're an individual or group, right? It's like if you're going through it, you feel like you're alone, right? And always remember, right, that we're reading this also in light of what Jesus himself would have been interpreting as he was reading and singing this psalm that night, right, as he finished that meal. Right, so he starts off, I love you, right? The Lord, right? And again, the Lord is capped, so it's Yahweh, Jehovah. And then whenever you see that, you should think immediately that this is the God of the covenant promises that he made with Abraham and the children of Israel, right? So when you think of covenant promises, here's how you have to picture that. God being holy, condescended from heaven, came down and made an agreement with the Israelites, right? He condescended down, right, in order to make this agreement. I love the Lord, right? Because he has heard my voice, my plea for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. Right, and he loves him because he was in dire straits. Most would say that this individual was sick, and his sickness was having him to the edge of death, right? And as a result, God answered, God did show mercy on him, so he loves him, right? But here's where I would just push a little bit. If God chose not to answer, is he still worth loving? It's almost like that song we sang just a little while ago, right? I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Right? And there's a piece in there that almost theologically doesn't make sense, right? Because then the response is, that's why I trust him. But shouldn't I trust him whether he answered or not, because his character is he's good, right? He's good, right? But now I read one Psalm 116, and theologically, the psalm supports that song. You know, just, right? It's just how God works in my life, right? Right? So he loves the Lord, the one who keeps his promises, because he heard my voice, right? And I think of Andrew for a year, and he would say, right, I pray to God, I just didn't hear him. I didn't hear him. And that was leading me to thoughts of suicide. I didn't hear him. Right? The one I've been following, serving, sacrificing so much, here I am, right? And I didn't hear him. Right? And because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. And when you see Andrew today, or you hear somebody who had an encounter with God, it's all of a sudden their devotion and commitment to the Lord is almost even more. That doesn't mean that they are not exempt from sinful choices and decision. It just means that they're even that much more committed to God, right? Because of what God did in rescuing them. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol lay hold on me. I suffer distress and anguish. Right, and the snares of death, in some translations, it would say the cords of death, right? And here's what you need to picture, right? That Jesus himself would have been singing this psalm, and eventually not only would he get nailed to a Roman cross, But historians would say, in order to make sure that they would stay put, they would tie ropes around their wrists in order to secure them on the cross. Because sometimes the weight of the individual would tear the nail out. Right? So they just want to make sure that they stay there. Right? And you know, it's as if the grave itself is calling to you because you think death would be a greater answer, a relief. Right? I suffer distress and anguish. Right? So you could feel the darkness and the pressure that this individual was in. And he's saying, because God answered me, this is why I love him. This is why I'm going to follow him. This is why I'm committed to him. Right? Because he did something I so desperately needed. And sometimes God does certain things for you and for me that we don't even know we need. Right? And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I needed that. Right? And sometimes we don't know what we need. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord preserved the simple when I was brought low and saved me. Right? As you read the psalm, the one thing you notice is all the I's, all the personal pronouns, I, me, my. Right? This is somebody that's in need of God to answer them. And over again, what you see is Lord, Lord, the God of the covenant, Jehovah, Yahweh. Right? Sometimes this is the prayer you and I need to pray. Oh Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord. Gracious enough that he would even hear my prayer. And righteous, our God is merciful. Right? Because when I stop and think of it, I am 100% unworthy of his love. Right? Like, ask yourself, do you think you're worthy of his love? Right? Do you think you're deserving of it? Right? But then he goes and does what he does. Right? He shows mercy. He's gracious beyond our imagination. The Lord preserves the simple. Some translations say simple-hearted. Right? And remember Jesus? When the religious authorities would question his education, and they would say, right, he never went to school to learn. He never sat under the rabbis, right? And who is this simple man that he would have such knowledge of God's word, right? And then sometimes we as believers, when we're right, bringing God's word out to the world, right? It's like some people would even identify you as simple. You believe that? That's going to save you? That's going to help you? Right? And I'll say this, right? If God is on your side, it's okay to be simple, right? Oh, Lord, right? Return, oh, my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Right? These are one of these sets of verses that if you were saying, you know what, I'm going to put these into memory, these would be worthwhile memorizing. Right? Because sometimes as we walk with God, right, it's our eyes are full of tears. We need God to deliver us from whatever struggle we are in. Sometimes we do stumble in life. Sometimes our stumbling lays us flat on our face. Right? And all of a sudden we're able to get up, not because of our strength, our own ability, but because there's a deep sense within us because of God. It's like, get up. Get up. Right? I think of Andrew, right, with those other men in that cell, right? 19, right? It's devout Muslims, right? It's, he would say for most of his time in prison, he wouldn't even have a Bible to be encouraged with, right? And the only thing he would be able to hold on to would be his memory of when he did hold on to a Bible. His memory of when he would read scripture, right? It's, he would say in his book, right, that yes, he had certain verses memorized, but it's amazing that when you have the absence of scripture, how the Holy Spirit would bring God's word to life, right? So that's why when I encourage people to memorize scripture and they say, you know what, I'm old. You know what? It's going to be hard for this dog to learn a new trick, right? Don't believe the lie, right? It's, if you do the work, the Holy Spirit will bring it to life when you need it, right? When you need it, right? In order, right, that when we are walking our faith out in this world, right, it's to do it before the Lord in the land of the living, right? Because it's, this is the only place we can do it right now, right? I think sometimes we, right, as we talk about faith in God, faith in Christ and what he, and immediately our minds tend to go, oh, I'm going to have eternity. Yes, that's true, right? But what do you do now? And I believe for most of us, as believers, eternity actually starts now. Right? It isn't something that we have to wait until we die. Right? We could start now, right? And living out our faith before the world. I believed. Even when I spoke, I greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, oh, mankind are liars, right? It's amazing how scripture would capture, right, that when sometimes when we are under distress, we tend to make these blanket statements, all men are liars, right? But the psalmist says, right, it's like, when I was alarmed, some translations say, when I was in distress, right, my picture of men is that they are all liars. And you can see Jesus, right, as all of these men who were saying they were godly men were trying to trap him and accuse him, right, and not realizing that the Son of God was in front of them, right? You could see that with Andrew, right? As he, like, he knew he didn't do anything deserving of that. Have you ever been accused of something and you knew you weren't deserving of it? Right? Like I remember when I was a kid, right? And my brother and I, we were 11 months apart, and we used to roughhouse in the house, right? And And my mom had one of these ceramic statues. So in our roughhousing, right, I took my brother and I pushed them. And then this piece of pottery that my mom had just shattered into a million pieces. Right, and immediately, out of my voice, "Mom, look at what Louis did." Right, I wanted no part of that. Right, it's just comes out of us, right? But the psalmist would say, right, it's in my distress, I just made an assumption, all men are liars. Right? And you know what? I have met certain men today that are not liars. They are as truthful as can be, knowing that they are still sinners in need of Christ as Lord and Savior. You know? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me, right? What are you going to give to God? Right? Now start thinking, right? What are the benefits that you have received from the Lord? Right? Just think about that for a minute. Right? What has God given you that all of a sudden you should worship, right? You should praise the King of King and Lord of Lord, right? What are you going to render to God, right? Yes, I know it's hard because sometimes in the midst of wanting to render something to God, we have a list of things we need from him, right? Andrew would say into the latter half of his second year, right, he came to a place in his spirit of maybe this is where God always wanted me to be, in prison for him, bringing the gospel to the men around me, right? So it's no longer get me out, I have surrendered myself to the reality of, well, maybe this is it, right? And can you imagine that day in court, right? Receiving three life sentences, right? But also not knowing what God is doing behind the scenes, right? That they would take him from the courthouse, put him in a car, put him on a plane, and 24 hours later, he'll be in the White House, right? It's only God can do that, right? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay a vow to the Lord in the presence of all his people, precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his sins. Right? And you have to ask yourself, well, what does it mean to lift up the cup of salvation and to pay a vow? Right? And here's as simple as it can be, right? If you believe that God has done something for you in light of securing your salvation, right, what is your testimony like on behalf of God? Are you going out into this world and telling people of the story of who you were, what he did, and what you're doing as a result of what he has done, right? Because here's the thing, right? Andrew did not think that as a believer doing the work he was doing, because he was there in Turkey with the permission of the government to do that work, right? It's like, Lord, you opened every door for me. I've been here for 23 years, right? He would say that his congregation was a congregation of 23 Christians, right? And he was just faithful to them, right? And today he's reaching so many more, right? And if you listen to him, right, he says, I owe my life to God, right, for what he has done. Right? I will tell everybody of my story. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his sons. And sometimes, right, it's we have to die spiritually for God to do a new work in us. Right? Sometimes we ourselves have to go through the press of Gethsemane in order for a new godly work to happen. Right. Sometimes life isn't the way you planned. Sometimes accidents happen, right? And in those accidents, people we plan the rest of our lives with are not here. And all of a sudden it's like, Lord, what are you doing? Right, and all of a sudden, in the midst of that, he gives you a new work to do. Right, and you go, wow. That doesn't eliminate the pain, the grief, the suffering that we go through. Right, it's nothing in Andrew's life is going to give him back those 2 years of being in prison. Right, it's, you and I cannot even imagine what he went through as a human being. Because at the end of the day, human beings should not go through that. Right? It's to be in prison that way, it was inhumane. Right? But in the midst of God answering, showing mercy, being gracious, he says, I will pay my vow. Right? And here's the thing about vows, right? Vow is a verbal commitment that is tied spiritually in order to accomplish a work. Right? Like sometimes you and I make vows that really we should go back and break those vows because they're not godly. Sometimes those vows are done out of fear, out of pain and suffering. Like, have you ever made a statement like, I will never let that happen again? Right? Guess what? That's a vow. Right? And it's made out of fear. And what happens is those type of vows will show up in your life over and over again. And you'll wonder, why am I in the same place again? I thought I worked through that. Right? And sometimes those vows have to be snipped, just like an umbilical cord is snipped, so that it doesn't feed your soul. But then this vow is a vow of, God showed up for me. I love the Lord, and the rest of my life is devoted to him and him alone. And whoever is willing to listen, I am going to tell of my story. Right? And I know some of you have amazing stories. Right? And here's the thing, your story is not my story. Right? But when we tell our stories, all of a sudden we get this picture of a merciful and gracious God. Oh Lord, I am your servant. Are you God's servant? I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Right? Some would say that this is a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of an individual who's grateful and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Right? And like I said a couple weeks ago, in order for a psalm to be a psalm of thanksgiving, you must have been in a season of lament. Right? Lord, where are you? Lord, are you going to show up? Lord, I've been praying and you haven't answered. Lord, I've been seeking you. Lord, this is the last place I thought I would be in. Lord, I can't believe I just got this news from the doctor. Lord, I can't help. to believe that I just heard this news from my employer. Lord, I can't believe that my son or daughter walked away, right? Lord, I can't believe that today I don't even know where they are, right? But in the midst of that, to say, Lord, even though I don't know where they are, here's the thing. You, as God, you know where they are. Right, so I'm going to pray to you. Right, I'm going to be thankful for you. And here he says it again. I will pay a vow to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Right? It's to tell each and every one of you over and over again of how good he is. It's about telling each and every one of you of what he accomplished, right? Easter Sunday morning, right? And where all of a sudden the stone was rolled away. Sin and death was conquered. He walked on this earth with his people, right? He would do what he said he was going to do. I would tell everybody, right? So then in light of that, right? So we ask ourselves, right? Am I doing what I need to do in reference of reaching those that don't know Jesus Christ? Am I willing to invite one person? Not only am I willing to invite them, am I willing to walk alongside of them and disciple them, right? So that they would come to a saving knowledge of who our Lord is, with the hope that when this is all done, they will then do the same thing. They would find somebody. And then that would free me up to find a new person. And then together, we're working in building God's church, right? Because here's the thing, in a few weeks, we're going to have brand new chairs, and I would rather see them worn out because of the people in them, right? That's, to have worn out chairs is a good thing, right? And not worn out because of the sun, worn out because of people sitting in them, right? That's a good thing, to be bickering about, I can't believe I don't have a parking spot, right? Right? Because this place is so full of people. Oh, I can't believe I got to show up 15 minutes early because somebody's going to take my seat. That's a good thing, right? That's a good thing, right? And in the midst of the church growing, also be willing to sacrifice the church. Because if the church is filled with new believers, then the church is also going to need to look different. And I need to be willing to sacrifice the things that I enjoy about church to say, you know what? It has to also reach them. I will pay a vow to the Lord in the presence of all his people that I would go out of my way to tell individuals over and over and over again of who he is in the court of the house of the Lord. In your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Right? To praise God, to worship God. Right? Do you have a reason to praise God today? Right? Do you have a reason to say, I love the Lord. I love him. I love him with all of my heart and being. I love the Lord. You know, it's a reminder of my own life, right? It's like 34 years ago, I was in a crack house, right? Weighing about 113, 18 pounds, right? And I would pass out only to wake up on my knees and saying, God help me. Right? And a few minutes later, God would answer that prayer. Right? And I would say, as a result of the answering of that prayer, my life has never been the same. And let me tell you, this Port Jervis Goodwill Church is the last place I thought I would find myself at, right? This was not in my plans, right? But here I am, right? Here I am because here's where God has me, right? And it's a reminder of, Lord, I just love you, right? Because I could tell you of that day 34 years ago of me being in that crack house, right? But here's the thing. I'm the one who was there, right? There's nothing I'm going to tell you that's going to communicate the pain and suffering that I was in, right? Just like there's nothing that we can read from Andrew Bronson's book that's even going to capture close what he experienced in that jail cell with all those men. Like, only he knows what that was, just like only I know what that was, only like you know the pain and suffering that you are going through, if you're going through it, right? We can talk about it, we can share about it, but only you know. It's only you know the tears that when you want to go to sleep and there's nothing in you, that also in your eyes are wide open and you can't go to sleep. And the only thing that you're thinking about is the pain and suffering that you're in or have gone through. Sometimes it's the deep loneliness that we feel, right? And we can't wait to go to sleep and wake up so that way it's daylight. All right. Yeah. Right? But God wants to give us so much more. He wants to encourage you. He wants to encourage us. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do thank you. Thank you that we can do what you've called us to do. And the only place we can do that is in the land of the living. Lord, I do pray for each one of my brothers and sisters. Lord, be with them. Lord, be their encouragement. Lord, bless them. And in the receiving of the blessing, may our response be thank you. Thank you. May we praise your holy name. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's children said, would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.